we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with the instructions listed on the care label of a jacket, read for us by Peter Donaldson.
Touch up with a warm iron on the backside.
Thanks to Rebecca Ferrari of London for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Francis Ween and a newcomer, newsreader Kirsty Lang. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Linda Smith. Francis, which war really will be over before Christmas?
I think it's the IRA. They've decided to join the war against terrorism. And it is wonderful, this coalition against terrorism. I mean, it includes countries like Iran and Syria, which, you know, have done a bit of sponsoring of terrorism in their time, and it can't be long before Carlos the Jackal applies to become an honorary patron of the campaign. And Gerry Adams has entered into the spirit of the thing. I think he was influenced by Tony Blair's amazing speech at the Labour conference, where Blair said that he was going to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And immediately Gerry Adams pops up and says that he's decided to decommission his beard. And long overdue, in my view. And certainly now. I mean, he really can't compete with old Bin Laden, can he? On the face fungus front. And it's going to be put beyond further use, I think is the technical term. General John de Chastelain has been taken to a secret location. It's actually a barber's shop in County Cork. And has witnessed this great event. And it's peace in our time. I mean, we're bombing Afghanistan, smithereens, and that sort of thing. But apart from that, it's all happy-clappy, and children are dancing in the streets of Belfast, and, except for the ones who are trying to get to school through a mob of howling loyalists. But apart from that, everything's going awfully well. And it's all thanks to the great leader. He just snaps his fingers and the world obeys.
Slightly unsettled on the day I turned the news on, and it said the British Army are destroying all their watchtowers. And I thought, there'll be trouble from the provisional Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes, I was quite bemused to read that Gerry Adams said he was going to be disarming the IRA. I'm not quite sure how you do that. I suppose you go up and say, what's your name? Declan. Why, that's beautiful. Give me the balaclava, Declan.
Yes, the IRA have begun, they say, decommissioning their weapons. The current troubles began in 1968, so the latest war on terrorism should be over by the year 2034. IRA have promised an end to the bombing on the mainland and have also promised, more significantly, no more Irish theme pubs. 2 points to Francis. Kirsty, welcome to our little show. Who has Tony Blair targeting directly this week?
Oh, yes, well, Tony Blair's told us that actually he's now decided that if we catch Bin Laden, he's going to be killed. Up until now, they were just going to scare him a lot. But now he's really fed up after 3 weeks of dropping very, very expensive weaponry, and he still hasn't come out of his cave, so that's it, they're going to shoot him. Which I thought they were going to do in the first place, but apparently not.
No.
And now we're told we might not even find him at all.
Well, we might not. He might be a shimmerer, if that's how you pronounce it.
Well, I think I can clear this up, because I've not been on the show a couple of weeks, and that is because I've been on covert operations within Afghanistan. Not happy with my disguise. I didn't think it was that convincing. I was an Avon lady in Kabul. didn't ship much gear, to be honest. A couple of tubes of beard styling gel, and that was it. House is full of lip gloss, but... No, but it is baffling, this policy. They're now saying, oh, we're going to kill him. But I thought, the way things are going, their policy was to kill everyone else, and the one left standing would be Bin Laden.
Well, if only he joins the coalition, he'll be fine.
I bet his mums and dad must be really upset.
Well, he's a typical middle child, isn't he? 27th out of 56. In an interview with the Daily Telegraph, President Blair said he'd prefer to see Osama bin Laden killed rather than captured. Earlier in the week, the CIA was sent sealed orders from the president authorising them to assassinate bin Laden. But they haven't found anyone brave enough to open the envelope yet.
Well, that's another thing with the anthrax, isn't it? I mean, people like you, Francis, you've got young children. You've probably already had anthrax, haven't you? They bring stuff home from school, don't they?
Yeah. on the front of the Daily Mirror, it claimed that Bin Laden had bought his anthrax through a mail order offer.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that in the Innovations catalogue.
All the anthrax you can carry.
It's just between the jigsaw table and the nasal hair clipper.
And the Stena Stairlift.
Stena Stairlift?
Is that what they're called? Those things that Dora Bryan...
No, it's Thora Heard, it is. It's Thora Heard and Raymond Baxter going up like lightning. I had a dream once of having a pro-am celebrity Stena Stairlift race. Well, I didn't know Thora Heard was a supplier of anthrax to the carriage trade. This comes as something totally new. The rest of you have jobs. Well, I always watch it in the afternoon. And it has that woman that gets in the bath fully clothed, walking sideways. And I don't know who these people are.
Oh, no, is this all the shop?
She's never naked. There's a door in
there's
the bath.
The
water
bath.
Doesn't come out, and she gets in and soaps herself wearing a three-piece suit. I think it's something fetishistic that I don't understand. And that bugger who was in Z cars, who keeps giving you carriage clocks for dying.
Oh,
he says if you die this week, you get 10% off on a carriage clock. So maladroit to offer him a clock. There's all these people waiting out there to snuff it. Here's a clock. Chimes every hour, but one of them you're not going to hear. Was this question about the war? I can't remember.
That was the end of question two. 2 points to Kirsty. Linda, why is it high time the government was applauded for seeing the light regarding its joint statement?
Oh, what could this be? It's the government, well, I suppose appropriately relaxing the law on cannabis, is what it's been called. David Blunkett, who'd have thought it? Seems so stern, doesn't he? And he's a little secret dope head. And then he's talking now about in Parliament, well, Parliament, as they now call it, the chill-out room. he's talking now about maybe relaxing the law on ecstasy. The thought of David Blunkett loved up is scary, isn't it?
A bit dangerous. A couple of pills and a dog will be off like the clappers. Have him the Battersea home before he knows it. I think it's all obfuscation, isn't it? I mean, it's like burying things, like the Joe Moore story. They reckon if we're going to be high on cannabis, they can throw any piece of legislation past us and we won't even notice. We'll grin and we'll say, my God, it's not Thursday already. You know, be wonderful. Blunkett's major strategy.
Extraordinary to hear Peter Lilly on the radio saying they haven't gone far enough. They should have legalised it. Because, of course, the Tories are desperate because this was their one chance to put forward a policy that would have got people under the age of 65 to vote for them.
Even the Daily Mail said Blunkett had done the right thing.
In fact, if you lick the editorial of the Daily Mail...
David Blunkett announced that cannabis was to be redefined as a Class C drug. Home Secretary said he'd enjoyed going out and meeting pro-cannabis lobby groups over the past few months. They always served him extremely nice biscuits with his cup of tea. 2 points to Linda. Alan, your piece of music. Woolly Bully by Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. Why won't Margaret Beckett be appearing on the Brains Trust just now?
Oh, the poor old thing. I mean. Well, unfortunately, they haven't tested scientists' brains. And for 4 years, they've been looking at this sort of porridge on a slide and coming to all sorts of conclusions about what's wrong with sheep. The only thing is, the stuff on the slide belonged to cows. I don't know how good these scientists are, but you would think if you did O-level biology, you'd be able to spot the difference. Margaret Beckett stood up in the House of Commons a little unsteadily, it must be said. She's probably been at samples. and they've cocked up. Surprisingly, amazingly, for a government, they've cocked up over Creutzfeldt's Jacob's disease and spongiform encephalitis and all those things we learned in the 90s that they were going to cure, and 10 years on, they're still looking at the wrong animals' heads. You can go into a butcher's and see the difference between a sheep's head and a cow's head. It's called brawn. See, they didn't grow up in the war. They would have known then. You never have fobbed my mother off with sheep's brain.
But then, as we've learnt now that Mr. Bin Laden's got a great big warehouse full of plutonium, BSE suddenly doesn't seem as scary as it used to do, does it? You just don't know when you're well off. I mean, I remember a time when I thought Alsatians were vicious dogs.
No, the world has changed. I've started eating white sugar again. I thought, what the hell? live dangerously for a moment or two before London goes up in smoke.
Well, I don't bother taking all the plugs out the appliances at night.
What appliances are these? Isn't
Well, you know, there is a war on.
No one knows whether scientists involved in a study into BSE in sheep's brains have been testing cow brains by mistake. From now on, cow brains will be contained in clearly marked canisters, whereas sheep brains are what you find inside New Labour backbenchers, etc. Ooh, you Labour supporters in the audience, I think. We start round two with an item seen in the St Albans Review.
St Albans Planning Committee has instructed officers to look at redevelopment opportunities for the site currently occupied by the police station, magistrates' court, the health centre and the Quaker burial ground. All the current occupants are said to be considering moving elsewhere.
Thanks to Judy Newton Davis of St Albans for that. Francis, why is the jury no longer out for professionals?
Oh, it's yet another blanket initiative. Every 5 seconds he pops up and announces, you know, identity cards or dope smoking or whatever. And his 18th initiative of the week was to say he was going to stop middle-class people ducking out of jury service. He's going to bring in some new rule. He specifically said, he said that it was unfair that professionals like lawyers and doctors and judges could get out of jury service and in future they were going to be forced to serve. I thought, judges? It's just slightly stacking the odds. I mean, the judges hear the cases. I mean, they actually preside over the cases. And then you put them on the jury as well. A bit of an unfair advantage, you know. I think the rest of us ought to get a small look in. But Blunkett thinks that judges should sit on juries and lawyers. I mean, for heaven's sake, courtrooms are infested by them already. But he thinks the quality of justice will be improved in some mysterious way.
No, it's another piece of really, honestly, really right-wing legislation. I served on a jury, and none of the others could actually count. It was only because I had nothing to do in the afternoon. I didn't write myself...
What, the shopping channel was off the air,
was it? Better than Countdown. I didn't write myself a letter saying I could get out of it, but nobody else had the first idea, and they were all villains. And it was at Newington Petty Sessions. It was all small crime. It was things like nicking stuff off building sites. We got in the jury. I did about 30 cases. And the first thing that they always said was, that's not a crime. Everybody does that. And you realise everybody... But once you get lawyers and doctors and judges on, you're going to get 35 years of parking on a yellow line. There's another piece of absolute right-wing legislation by Blunkett that slid in unnoticed.
Well, also, I thought the whole principle of jury trial was that you could be tried by a jury of your peers. And, I mean, if it's full of judges, whose peers are they, for heaven's sake? I mean, have one of your minor dodgy motor traders coming in and finding the Lord Chief Justice sitting there on the jury panel. And then it means that Blair is effectively above the law, because as we all know, he is now God and has no peers. So if he's had up for a speeding or parking offence, can reasonably say that no jury can be impaneled that would be his equals.
It sounds like David Blunkett hasn't quite hit on the right combination of drugs yet, has he?
The Home Secretary has warned that middle-class professionals will no longer be able to cop out of jury service. Junior doctors in particular welcome the ruling, as at last they have a chance to catch up on some sleep. Kirsty, who came under heavy fire while reporting from the front hemline?
Ah, I think this might be a reference to Kate Adie, who complained this week that she was sort of being somewhat left out of the BBC's coverage on the grounds that she was an old trout. Her words, not mine.
Actually, she kept saying, I'm an old trout.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if you have to tell people the impression you're doing, it isn't very good.
She then went on to say that the BBC was only interested in hiring women reporters with cute faces and cute bottoms and nothing in between. I mean, I think she's got a point, actually, because I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm pretty sure that Channel 4 did hire me for my bottom.
Well, exactly,
and this is where the discrimination comes in, because John Snow, my colleague on Channel 4, gets to leap around the studio showing his bottom to the nation, whereas I'm stuck on a chair in the corner hiding my light under a bushel.
Well, no one's got it.
You can display it.
Cute bushel.
It's radio, isn't it? There's no point.
It's come over awfully well. That's the whole joy of radio. The audience's imagination at home can rise to the occasion.
Yeah, but it's not really a real war without Kate Adie. It's like not having Vera Lynn. I turn on night after night and she's not there in that wonderful baggy uniform, flat jacket things. I've been rather sad. I don't think we're at war properly until Kate gets up there and gets dug in.
There was a photo of her in one of the papers showing her at the age of 20-something when she was a young reporter. And she wasn't averse to flashing a bit of cute bottom and cute leg in those days.
No, the Boers loved
it. Very striking picture.
Confused by the reference to cute face and cute bottom, but nothing in between. I mean, what about her colleague Rosie Millard, for instance? I mean, Michael Burke commented on how much she had in between, didn't she, when she had the Oscars, you know, very low-cut dress.
Michael Burke disapproved.
She's an arts reporter. That doesn't matter. Right. I mean, if she thinks the Basque region is the lingerie department at Harvey Nicks, that's all.
Kate Ady, who in a speech to the Cheltenham Festival accused BBC bosses of filling news programmes with bimbos, saying they're more concerned about the shape of your legs than your professional ability. It's farcical for Kate Ady to suggest I was just chosen because of my looks, said the BBC's new chief economics correspondent, Melinda Messenger. Alan, who wants to give us a whole new window on the world?
Yes. I mean, there were two stories I didn't understand much this week. There was one about a man called Mao Choy Pin. Is that coming up? The Malaysian who carries flat irons on his chest.
No.
And they investigated him because he's been claiming for 50 years he was magnetic. And now, and he's also got a lot of spoons and forks. So there was a photograph of him in the Telegraph. And he's now been investigated by this Malaysian university. And he's not magnetic, but he has interesting furry skin and spoons stick to it. I didn't understand that story at all. but even less do I understand this one about Bill Gates. There's a Windows XP, which is something you put on one of those televisions that people type on. And I don't understand it at all. But he's done it this week, and it's a bad time to do it, apparently, because of the les événements. And it's not going to save the world. But Gates claimed it would save the world by making everything much faster and cheaper. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how, and I don't know what it is. But it's something you switch on.
One of Linda's appliances.
I think it comes on a disc of some. Is it?
Compatible.
Bill Gates' Microsoft hopes its new Windows XP operating system will restart the global economy over the next few months. The new version is more reliable and less likely to go down on you than the old one. Francis, who is winning the Gulf War?
Someone's invented a new golf tee, is that right?
Golf.
Golf, you know, the game golf that you play
golf.
On golf courses.
Yeah.
It's the kind of serious story that Channel 4 News looks for in these troubled times, surely.
I don't do sport anymore on Channel 4 News, ever since I talked about, said leg over in cricket or something. They give them
did
to somebody
you?
Else, yes. I said the batsman had his leg over. So now they give all
I
the sport
stories
to someone
Johnston
else.
I thought that was Brian Johnston or Jonathan Agnew or someone. But anyway, is this it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they've invented a new golfing tee where you don't hit the ball, you hit the tee. And it's designed in such a way that when you hit the tee, however off your aim is or... You know, bad the angle is.
Is everyone else losing
it's
the will to
so
live?
It's so exciting.
Well, I didn't
ask for a golfing question.
I was reading this in the Daily Mail and decided not to read it on the grounds that it was too boring.
It's unbelievably boring. Only the Daily Mail covered this story. That's how boring it is.
Golf, I hate it.
It was also on the front page of Socialist Golfer magazine, which is available from all good street corners. Che Guevara was a founder member, I believe. But anyway, that's all it is. It's just some tee where you hit the tee instead of the ball and it goes straight up in the air.
The problem with golf is it encourages people to go outdoors who really should stay indoors. You know, publicans in bulging Pringle pastel jumpers. They're just in the same category for me as gardens full of conifers and bungalows, which are not low-rise houses, they're high-rise coffins. Depressing. The
so you're opening a second front now, War Against Bungalows. You better watch it.
Yeah, I feel ambitious now.
You're going to start attacking caravanners soon, if you don't.
I do think, with caravans, that if you can't bear to leave your home, just stay at home. Don't take it with you on holiday.
A new invention called the Faithful Tee is said to guarantee golfers an accurate shot every time. Kirsty, listen to this. Kirsty, who's accused of being serial liars about their advertising?
Advertising.
Serial liars?
It's those breakfast bars.
Oh, the breakfast bars, yes.
Little bits of Rice Krispies stuck together and wrapped into a plastic thing.
Yes, but yes, because they're so... You're supposed to think they're terribly healthy, aren't they? They say health. They call things like health bars and everything, but now it turns out that they're actually incredibly unhealthy and contain...
Sugar.
Sugar.
Surprisingly.
Exactly.
That's
and fat.
That's
the musical
sugar.
Clue.
Yes. Vitamin sugar. Very high in vitamin sugar.
Yeah. And you're actually better off eating cereal and covering it with sugar and you'll still have less sugar.
Or kedgeree, or deviled kidneys, or anything really.
Not too hot on marketing, is he, Francis?
No.
Kedgeree bars, not
kedgeree
going
kedgeree bars, no.
Do have a few deviled kidneys, that is.
And all these children who don't have time for breakfast because they have to go to school so early in the morning.
And the only thing they'll eat is deviled kidneys.
You sometimes see them, but they nibble on these things with their next to their packed lunch, they have their packed breakfast. And some of them do turn up with kippers. I think you'll find. Certainly at the school when my children go, do you?
Frogs
I don't
and
understand
flakes.
The success of any of these flapjack-related items, really. They look like things you put out for the birds. Bacon rinds and things in them. Awful. Little Contiki raft things, aren't they, that you could float to work on, probably, if you're in East Anglia at the moment.
It's tearing the end off with your teeth that I find difficult.
I don't eat these, but I've tried them. I mean, you can't eat them. I bought one once. And it had a strip that was supposed to be easier to tear off than the rest of it. And eventually it was all on the kitchen floor, all in bits. You can't open these bars. I think they're probably very good for the kids. You give them six of these, and it takes them 3 years to open the thing. They've grown up with wonderful teeth by the time they get the thing open. I don't know how people open these things. Perhaps it's something to do with windows. Perhaps you... some modern trick.
I think our suspicions should have been raised when they started dropping them all over Afghanistan.
The spokesman for Kellogg said their bars had significantly less fat and sugar than other snack options, such as, for example, sugary cream and lard pie. Linda, who thinks qualifying for a free tour bus pass is a gas?
Bill Wyman.
Yes.
Because he's a pensioner now, isn't he? I thought he had been for years, actually. I didn't realise. Because he looks very old. He's sort of like a scrotum in sunglasses. He's... don't they? They're sort of like really, really, really old tortoises who've never bothered much with sunscreen. So there's that. He's a pensioner. Well, they're all pensioners now. I think, well, there was their last tour, the Rolling Stones Voodoo Lounge. I think the next one will be Sunshine Lounge. I think Led Zeppelin will probably release Stairlift to Heaven. And Earth, Wind and Fire will name themselves. A bit cloudy, but might clear up later. Still, muscles rumble.
And Cliff Richard's next hit. We're all going on a saga holiday.
Ex-Rolling Stones bass player Bill Wyman turned 65 on Wednesday, making him officially Britain's first rock and roll pensioner. He narrowly beat Tommy Steele, who turned 65 in December. Tommy says he can't wait to get back out on the road, as at present the nurses take him only as far as the garden. Keith Richards recently turned 57, though we've no idea what that is in human years. Alan, who's got designs on the contents of your jeans?
It's not another sperm question, is it? We have a sperm... We used to have dinosaur questions every week, or parrot questions. Now we have a sperm question every week.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one about sperms going backwards 2 weeks ago. Well, they're interfering, whoever they are, I don't know. But the they that live in the world I don't inhabit are interfering with our sperms. Not mine personally, but they are... it is now possible to genetically alter a sperm so there's nothing wrong with it. Goes like a bullet, hits the egg every time, and you get a coconut. True.
Yes.
Kirsty, you're looking baffled.
I had a different sperm story that I'd...
later.
Well, you really can't have too many.
Well, it must be true. It said that soon we women wouldn't need sperm anymore because we could just have babies on our own. And this was the end. I believed it. Did nobody else pick up on this major breakthrough?
Yes, I saw that, but I didn't want the rumour to get out.
Yeah. But you're always moaning on about how you want new men, new dads. Not you personally, but women. But we're not even going to be invited along for the beginning of the whole thing, are we?
Cut out the middle, man, that's what I say.
Well, if you're into trialism, obviously.
Well, that's taken the focus off me and my appliances anyway. So.
A team of scientists at the University of Pennsylvania, led by Professor Ralph Brinster, claims to have found a way to reprogram sperm to eliminate all genetic defects. The news comes as yet more proof that the right designer gear will get you into all the best openings. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is a story from the Times newspaper. Aubrey Offer took no chances when he drove to the post office to pick up his pension. The 87-year-old motorist clamped a bright yellow security lock to his steering wheel to deter would-be thieves. Unfortunately, magistrates in Bath were told yesterday, Mr. Offer suffered a momentary lapse of concentration and left the key to the device at home. Instead of taking a taxi or catching a bus, Mr. Offer decided to drive, despite being unable to remove the steering lock. He was doing well until shortly before he reached home, when he encountered a corner and drove into the side of a house.
Kirsty.
Well, this is a classified ad from the Financial Post in Toronto, sent to us by Dominic Blythe of Stockport, and it's somebody seeking employment. Former marijuana smuggler. Business experience, executive-level management of 120 people worldwide in a successful pot-smuggling venture with revenues in excess of $100 million annually. And he also speaks French, Spanish and English, and you can get references from the US District Attorney.
Alan.
Well, mine's from a letter in the Yorkshire Post, Simon. It says, despite earnest promises going back more than 10 years... the disgusting situation in Barnsley's notorious red light district continues to worsen. Isn't it time the police got on top of the problem?
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, and the global coalition remains united since everyone has 16 points. And before we leave you, here's an item from the British Medical Association news.
A woman having a sneaky cigarette after doctors on her ward had told her to give up suffered the ill effects of smoking far more quickly than she expected when she fell out of a hospital window.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Green, Kirsty Lang and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson, Paul McKenzie and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.